السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. So alhamdulillah, this is the 55th session and we had a short break after Eid. Alhamdulillah, so we're back at it inshallah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to complete the entire study of the Seerah Nabawiyyah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inshallah ta'ala. So quick review inshallah what we did last time. The building of the Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we talked about how the different pillars were made from the tree trunks and how the roof was made, or the ceiling or the roof was made by the leaves of the date trees. And I'll talk about the changing of the Qibla some other time inshallah. But it was all facing Jerusalem at that time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve the pain and suffering of the Muslim and protect them there inshallah. So the Muslims are building Masjid Nabawi. We talked about the different pillars. We talked about the Hanana tree, the trunk that the Prophet ﷺ was leaning on when he used to give khutbah, and then he left it to go to the mimbar, the pulpit, and that's called Hanana because it was crying like Hanin al-Ishar, like the pregnant she-camel in its 10th month, right when it's about to give birth, the crying that it does, the same type of crying when it's in pain, that tree trunk was making that type of sound because the Prophet ﷺ had left it to go to the pulpit. So we talked about that. We talked about the different istawanat, Aisha radhiallahu anha, istawan of Tawbah, Abu Lubaba radhiallahu anha, when he tied himself to the pillar. So we talked about the itikaf, where the sarir, where the Prophet ﷺ would make itikaf. We talked about the other one, where the wufud, where the different delegations would come and they would meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were where they would stay. Harasa, we talked about, where Ali radhiallahu anhu and other different companions took turns guarding the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at night. So, alhamdulillah. And the one thing I mentioned is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, as they're working and they're building the Kaaba, and remember this whole construction took almost with the Hujarat and everything, it took about 7 months. So the Prophet ﷺ stayed in the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari for about 7 months. Now while they're building the Masjid Nabawi, they're basically reciting like poetry. And one of the things that was mentioned, the Prophet ﷺ would say, and the Ansar and the Muhajirun with him, they would say, Allahumma la khayra khayra illa khayra al-akhirah. That there is no khayr, there's no goodness except the khayr of the akhirah. فَغْفِرْ لِلْمُهَاجِرِينَ فَغْفِرْ لِلْأَنصَارِ وَالْمُهَاجِرَةِ. So forgive the Ansar and the Muhajira. Another type, remember it's not just one thing repeating, they would say different lines of poetry. Some of them have been captured in the books of Seerah. Another thing, a line they would recite, هَذَا الْحِمَالُ لَا حِمَالُ خَيْبَرَ هَذَا أَبَرُّ رَبَّنَا وَأَطْهَرُ. So the Prophet ﷺ would say that this is not the himal, this is not the burden or the weight of the dates of Khaybar. Remember, Khaybar is a famous city to the northwest, I think, of Medina Munawwara. And Khaybar is where there was a lot of palm trees. Even until today there is. If you go visit there, you'll see the old Khaybar, there's a new Khaybar and there's an old Khaybar. And the old Khaybar where the Jews used to live, it's like there's trees, you can't even see the end of the trees. That's how many, mashallah, it's a huge garden basically. So the Sahaba were reciting, هذا الحمال, this weight or this burden is not like the weight of the dates of Khaybara. هذا أبر ربنا وأطهر. This is more beneficial, more righteous in act, and وأطهر, and more pure. Meaning like when they would go, for example, the traders, when they would go to for business to Khaybar or go to different places, and you go and you buy sacks of dates. So they're carrying those dates and they're doing that. This is not like that. This is carrying, this is more righteous of an action, and this is more pure because you're doing it for the sake of Allah. You mean the bricks that they were carrying, the trees that they were carrying, the different work that they were doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing that's also in Sahih Bukhari, that the Prophet, and again this is called yartijaz, okay, irtijaz. It's basically like a type of poetry or singing, you could say, obviously without the music. And the Prophet ﷺ would say, Allahumma innal ajra ajrul akhirah. O Allah, the true ajr, the true reward, is the reward of the akhirah. Is the reward of the akhirah. Farhamil ansara wal muhajira. So Allah, have mercy on the ansar and the muhajira and the muhajirun. So this is another beautiful poem that they would recite, and they would keep them going basically. And I think I mentioned this before, where the Sahaba, when they would travel, there's a thing called Shaylat in Arabic. And I remember when I first heard that, it was when I was in a taxi going to Riyadh or coming back to Medina from Riyadh. It was one of those two. And the taxi drivers, it's a long journey. I mean, depending how fast they drive, it could take about 7 to 10 hours between that. So, and they have to stay awake. They're drinking their gawa, they're drinking their coffee, and they're trying to stay awake. And one of the things they would do is they put these shaylat on. And it was like a kind of like music. It depends on, again, what you're listening to. Some of them are more music with the thing, and then some are just the duff in the background, and then they're reciting poetry. So I remember when I first heard that, it sounded pretty cool. It wasn't music, it was like a poetry kind of thing, and it sounded pretty cool. So I remember that incident. But this is very important, actually. One thing to stream, we were talking about this in Ramadan, actually, where our kids, they are not used to listening to or reciting poetry or anashid or, you know, na'at, for example, where you praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about madh al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, praising the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking about his characteristics and that kind of stuff. This is something that the ulama of the past, they would teach their students and their children at a young age, and they would grow up learning these things, and they would memorize it by heart, and they would be, you know, able to recite it whenever they were, you know, while they're playing football, just say, for example, whenever they, you know, they'll be reading these kind of things. So this is something that we should try to you know, inculcate in our lives with our kids, young kids, especially when they're younger, have them memorize these lines. You know, the famous poem of Busiri, Imam al-Busiri rahimahullah, what's it called, Qasida Burda al-Sharif. And this is very famous. I know there are some people, they say that there's some lines in there that's shirk. The ulama have said that it's not shirk. It's just basically, you have to look at the meaning behind it. It's poetry. So sometimes you don't understand exactly what the poet is saying. So you have to look into it deeper and see that this is not shirk. It's actually something else. So anyway, so Qasida Burda Sharif of Imam Busiri, rahimahullah, very beautiful. You know, one of the things he says, Mawla yasalli wa sallim da'iman abada ala habibina khayri khalqil kulli kullihimi. That, O Allah, O my Lord, O my Master, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, send your salutations on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, abada, meaning forever, continuously send it on him, on your khayri khalqi kullihimi, on the blessed Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of all creation, kullihimi, of all of creation. So beautiful lines, and if you look at the poetry itself, I have an audio of it where I think they're Syrian munshids, they're reciting it. It's a 56 minutes long, the whole entire thing, and it's very beautiful the way they recited it. So if you want that, just ask me later and I'll send it, inshallah. So the Prophet ﷺ is doing this, they're carrying the bricks, they're building the Masjid Nabawi, and Ammar ibn Yasir radhan. Who knows who Ammar ibn Yasir radhiallahu anhu? Who was his father and his mother? What are they famous for? One of the students. Barakallahu. Okay, so you're a student today. So they were the first martyrs of Islam. So when we talked about that in Sirah of the Meccan period, we talked about how Ammar ibn Yasir radhiallahu anhu was tied up with his parents, and they were the first martyrs of Islam. Sumayya radhiallahu anha, the mother, and Yasir radhiallahu anhu, the father. Sumayya radhiallahu anhu being the first, and then the father being the second martyr of Islam. So Ammar ibn Yasir radhiallahu anhu, he's carrying these bricks, and it's mentioned here that when the Sahaba yahmiluna fihi al-hijara labina labina, the Sahaba were carrying one brick at a time. brick by brick. They're carrying it and they're building the masjid. كان عمار بن ياسر رضي الله عنه يحمل لبنتين في كل مرة. So as they're carrying one brick at a time, and they're heavy, it's not like something easy that you can like throw around and it's like a plaything, it's heavy bricks. And Ammar ibn Yasir is doubling up, he's carrying two bricks at one time, and he's going and building, helping to build the masjid. Now the Prophet says, فَرَآهُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. He saw him, وَهُوَ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْحَالِ, and he saw him in this condition. فَجَعَلَ يَنْفُضُ الطَّرَابُ عَنْ رَأْسِهِ. So the Prophet lovingly started removing, like wiping the dust from Ammar radhiyallahu anhu's head. So, you know, they're carrying rocks, they have dust all, you know, you can just imagine the scene. And the Prophet is wiping the dust off his head. And he says to Ammar, Ya Ammar, أَلَا تَحْمِلُ لَبِنَةً كَمَا يَحْمِلُ أَصْحَابُكَ. Just like your companions are carrying one at a time, why are you carrying two, basically? And Ammar radhiyallahu anhu, he responds by saying, إِنِّي أُرِيدُ الْأَجْرَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. I wish, I hope for the ajr, I hope for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why I'm carrying extra. فَالْتَفَتَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ الْأَصْحَابِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at the Sahaba and he says, وَيْحْ عَمَّار تَقْتُلُهُ أَلْفِيَةَ الْبَاغِيَةِ. The wrong or the oppressing, you could say the baghiya, the ones who are wrong. The ones who are wrong, they will kill him. And this is actually a prophecy of the Prophet ﷺ, where when there was the difference of opinion between Muawiyah radiallahu anh and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anh, when they had that clash, the Sahaba had different, they took different positions, and Ammar ibn Yasir radiallahu anh was actually killed by one of the people or a few of the people of the army of Muawiyah radiallahu anh. So we know that the ulama, they say that there is ijtihad when a judge or a scholar or for example the Sahaba, when they do ijtihad, we don't know which one of them is correct. Allah knows, right? Allah alam, Allah knows which one's correct. So both of them get the reward, but the one who is correct, and that we'll find out on the Day of Judgment who was correct, they'll get double the ajr, they'll get double the reward because they were correct in their opinion. So Muawiyah radhiallahu anhu was wrong in his opinion, and Ali radhiallahu anhu was right. And the Prophet says that the Baghiyah, being the people who were wrong, they will kill Ammar radhiallahu anhu. So the people would look to see what happens to Ammar radhiallahu anhu based on this hadith. That's how much surety they had on the words of the Prophet. So they waited, and when Ammar radhiallahu anhu was actually killed, then they knew that who is on the right, who was wrong. So we talked about that. Also, I don't know if I mentioned this or not, but Riyadul Jannah, this is the front part of the original Masjid Nabawi, and the Prophet ﷺ says in a hadith related by Sahih Bukhari that ma bayna bayti wa mimbari rawdatun min Riyadul Jannah, that what is between my house and the mimbar is a rawda, it is a garden from the gardens of paradise. So that's in the original Masjid Nabawi. And again, when you go to Masjid Nabawi, you can see it says clearly Hududul Haram. The original pillars have been marked where the original Masjid is. Okay. Another thing, taking oaths at the pulpit. There are some hadith relayed by Sunan Abi Dawud and Sunan An-Nisa'i, rahimahullah, that the people, they would take oaths, and the Prophet actually warned them that you can take the oath there if there's some reason to, for example, a case or something like that. But someone who lies, especially if they take an oath at the pulpit of the Prophet and they lie, they'll get an extreme punishment for that. Not only are they lying, but they're lying in the blessed Riyadul Jannah next to the pulpit of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Another thing to mention is the homeless shelter that was built, As-Suffa. And As-Suffa was the homeless shelter that was built. Basically, now if you go into Bab Jibril alayhi salam, it's on your right side. If you go from Bab Nisa, the women's door, it's on your left side. It's a raised platform about this high, and that you probably prayed there before or saw it before in pictures, maybe if you haven't been there. And the Sahaba, the ones who did not have, the Muhajirin, would come to Medina Munawwara, and they didn't have a place to stay. They were homeless. And the ones who were students of knowledge, like Abu Huraira radhiallahu anhu, full-time students of knowledge, he didn't work, he didn't go and earn a living. He was 100% 24/7 in the with the gathering of the Prophet ﷺ, learning from the Prophet ﷺ, and that's why we see so many ahadith are related by Abu Huraira radhiyallahu anhu. The number of the people of Suffa was 70 to 80 Sahaba, and they were extremely poor. Now, they were living in this homeless shelter. They're extremely poor. They don't have any means of living. A lot of them were old. Okay, they don't have family. They don't have relations relatives in Medina. So it's even related in the hadith that they wouldn't even be properly covered. Some of them, they didn't have proper clothing on their bodies, so they would hide behind each other. They would sit behind the other person to cover their awra. That's how poor they were. Excuse me. So 70 or 80 Sahaba. Another thing, there was a tree that was there, and the other Sahaba would bring, you know, they were the Ansar, for example, they were farmers. They would bring dates every day, fresh dates, other food, other, you know, if they had meat or whatever they would have, and they would hang it on the tree, and then the Sahaba from the Suffa, they would go and eat from that food. They would take whatever they could. Another hadith, for example, the Prophet ﷺ would tell the Sahaba that anyone who has food for two people, then take a third or a fourth. If you have enough food for four people, then take a fifth or a sixth person. Take extra people home with you, feed them, basically. And the Prophet ﷺ would say that again and again. Afshu salam, atimu ta'am, feed them, feed each other. So they would feed the people of Suffa. Now, one of the, I'll mention two famous stories of the people of Suffa, and then I'll continue, inshallah. So Rabi'a ibn Ka'b al-Aslami radhiyallahu anhu, and this is very particularly important hadith or riwaya for our young children. Okay, so this was Rabi'a ibn Ka'b radhiyallahu anhu. He was one of the Ashab al-Suffa. He had no relatives. He was an orphan. His parents were not with him in Medina. And he was living in Suffa in the homeless shelter. Now, Rabi'a radhiyallahu anhu was one of those who was a khadim of the Prophet ﷺ. He was in his early teens, and he would help the Prophet ﷺ by getting up at night to go and get water for wudu, for any other chores, to go call people, like just like Anas ibn Malik radhiyallahu anhu, he would do the same thing. And one day, the Prophet ﷺ, he was very pleased with the khidmah that Ka'b radhiyallahu anhu, how he would do this. He says that I realized that the Prophet ﷺ might need my help in the middle of the night. So I actually moved and started sleeping outside the doorstep. So at the porch of the Prophet ﷺ, thinking if he gets up in the middle of the night, he might need my help. So I will go and help get the, you know, wudu or water or whatever he needs, I can do that. So he started sleeping outside the door of the Prophet ﷺ. Now, one day the Prophet ﷺ says to him, that sal tu'ta, that ask me anything and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give it to you. And Rabi'a radhiyallahu anhu says that, ya Rasulullah, give me some time. I need some time to think. This is not something easy to, you know, just to decide right away. I want some time. So the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, that's fine. Some riwayat say it took 1 or 2 days, 3 days for him. He kept on thinking, what should I ask for? And this is a person who's orphan, okay? He doesn't have family, he doesn't have a house, he doesn't have money. Now, he could ask for a house, he could ask for money, he could ask for a business, he could ask for, you know, whatever he wants of this dunya. But he's like, why should I ask for something like that? I have to leave it one day. I'll die one day and I have to leave all this. So why don't I ask for something that's everlasting? Something that will stay, that I can keep forever. So he comes back and the Prophet ﷺ says, did you decide? He says, yes. As'aluka, I ask murafaqatak fil jannah. I ask to be one of your neighbors and your companions in Jannah, inshaAllah ta'ala. The Prophet ﷺ says to him that, a'inni ala dhalika bi kathratis sujood. Help me with that by praying a lot. Okay, and that doesn't mean praying a fard, you have to pray fard. Praying extra prayers. Qiyamul Layl, Taraweeh prayer, Duha prayer, the Awabin prayer, the Ishraq prayer, all these different prayers. Okay, the Sunnah, the Nawafil, the Sunnah Mu'akkada, Ghair Mu'akkada, all these different prayers. Pray as much as you can, and that will increase. And I talked about that. In the khutbah, actually, I talked about that, where the Prophet ﷺ says that the best thing to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing the obligatory actions, the fard actions. And then a person continues to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by praying nawafil. until you become a wali of Allah, so you become a friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes the hands with which you touch, the eyes with which you see, the legs with which you walk. And if you ask anything from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give it. Meaning you become mustajab al-da'wah. You become one of those that the du'as are accepted at all times. So Rabi'ah radhiyallahu anhu asked for that, and the Prophet ﷺ tells him, help me with this by praying more prayers, and you will become one of the people of Jannah al-Firdaws, inshallah. Another incident was the miracle of the milk, bowl of milk. So Abu Hurairah radhiyallahu anhu was one of the famous people from Ashab al-Sufa, and he was extremely poor. He would fall because of hunger. He would fall on the ground unconscious, and the people would come and put their feet on his neck, thinking that he had epilepsy or something, and that was the cure, I guess, or what they would do at that time. So they would put their feet on his neck, but he said, I swear it wasn't from any epilepsy or anything like that, but it was from the hunger. It was from not being able to eat and drink properly. That's why. So one day, Abu Hurairah was sitting outside in the street, and he sees Abu Bakr Siddiq come. And what he does is he asks Abu Bakr a question about an ayah of Quran or something, or a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, thinking that Abu Bakr will answer, will invite him into his house, maybe feed him something, and he will answer his question. But Abu Bakr responds to the question right then and there and proceeds forward. Next, Umar bin Khattab comes, same thing. He answers the question and proceeds forward. Then the Prophet ﷺ comes, and Rasulullah ﷺ sees Abu Hurairah, and he smiles because he just by looking at him, he sees what he's up to. He knows exactly why he's there. So he smiles and he says that, come with me. So the Prophet ﷺ asks his household, that is there anyone, do you have any food or anything to drink? And from all the nine hujurat, from all the nine households of the Prophet ﷺ, the only thing that came out was a bowl of milk. That's the only thing they had. And the Prophet ﷺ tells Abu Hurairah, go and call the Ashab al-Sufa. And the Abu Hurairah, he narrates this hadith himself. He says that I start thinking to myself, there's 70, 80 people in Ashab al-Sufa. You know, what am I going to get? Or how are we going to share this one bowl? So he says, I went, sam'an wa ta'atan, I went and I called them. And he comes back, and then the Prophet ﷺ says, you give them to drink first. Feed them or give them the bowl first. And then Abu Hurairah, even now he's thinking, okay, now I'm not going to get anything. Everything's going to be finished by the time I even get my turn. But miraculously, this is from the mu'ajizat, the miracles of the Prophet ﷺ, and the barakah and blessings of the Prophet ﷺ, that every single one of them drank to their fill. And then Abu Hurairah is asked by the Prophet ﷺ, who's left? He says, just you and I. We're the only ones left. The Prophet ﷺ says, ishrab, drink. So he starts to drink from that laban, from that milk. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, until I drank to my fill. And the Prophet ﷺ says, drink more. So he started drinking more. Then he said, I was done. And the Prophet ﷺ said, drink more. And he drank even more. So he was basically full, like totally full. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, drink more. He said, I can't drink anymore. It's going to come out from my mouth. I can't drink anymore. So the Prophet ﷺ says to him that, then he takes the bowl and he drinks the rest of it. So this is one of the miracles that happened with the people of As-Sufa. Two last things, inshallah, and then I'll stop. Different expansions throughout the years. So there was about 10 different expansions of the Haram. In the life of the Prophet ﷺ, we had the original Haram. And then in the 7th year of Hijrah, you had, after Khaybar, you had the expansion, because the Muslims were large in number. So they expanded the masjid even more while the Prophet ﷺ was still alive. Then you had the expansion of Umar bin Khattab radhiallahu anhu. Excuse me, this was in the 17th year of Hijri. Then Uthman radhiallahu anhu expanded it again in around the 28th or 30th Hijri, around that time. Then there was Abdul Malik ibn Marwan, who ordered Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahimahullah. So before Umar ibn Abdulaziz rahimahullah became the Khalifa, Amir al-Mu'mineen, he was actually a governor of Medina Munawwara, and his father was governor before him. So Umar bin Abdulaziz rahimahullah was a governor of Medina, and he oversaw the expansion of the Masjid Nabawi. And that's when it's related that the hujurat of the Prophet ﷺ were actually had to be knocked down, and everyone in Medina came out crying when they saw the hujurat being knocked down, and then they had to rebuild basically the masjid, and that area was enclosed. It was enclosed. So that was Al-Walid ibn Malik, actually. There was other expansions that happened. There was one time where one of the sultans of Egypt, he did a rebuilding of the masjid because there was a fire that had destroyed some of the architecture of the masjid. And then we have all the way up to the current time where you have one of the King Abdul Majid, one of the Saudi kings, and that's where Bab Majidi is. It's inside the masjid now. Mr. Nabawi is inside of it now. After the courtyard, it's at the end of the courtyard basically. Then you have the expansion of King Fahd. And that's where the current masjid stands, the way it is now. That's the current expansion. Then there was outside the masjid, there was the umbrellas were put up, and now a lot more people can pray outside. That was done in King Abdullah's time, and then now and currently in King Salman's time, they started expanding the Haram, and that was a few years ago they started, and it was stopped. I think that they stopped, they didn't have enough money or resources, whatever. They stopped building it, and it was just basically stopped there in its place. So that's the current masjid. Now one more thing I want to mention, and I'm going to stop there, inshallah. So the call to prayer, the Prophet ﷺ wanted to know how to call the people to prayer, the five times daily salawat. So the Prophet ﷺ asked the Sahaba, what should we do? How can we call the people? Some of the suggestions that came was, for example, putting up a flag so that people see the flag and they say, okay, it's time for prayer, let's go to the masjid. Another suggestion was given, like the methods of the Christians and Jews, for example, using a bell or a drum or a trumpet, some kind of loud sound to bring the people to the masjid. And that was all of those rejected. And then they said, okay, let's think about it. And one of the Sahaba, Abdullah ibn Zayd, saw a dream where he is being taught the adhan. So an angel came to him in his dream and taught him the adhan and said, say it like this. And he went to the Prophet ﷺ the next morning. He goes to the Prophet ﷺ and he says, فَلَمَّا أَصْبَحْتُ أَتَيْتُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. I went in the morning to the Prophet ﷺ, فَأَخْبَرْتُهُ بِمَا رَأَيْتُ. And I told him my dream of what I saw in the adhan being called. فَقَالَ إِنَّهَا لَرُؤْيَا حَقٌّ. This is a true dream. This is a true dream that was seen by you, inshallah. فَقُمْ مَعَ بِلَالٍ فَأَلْقِي عَلَيْهِ مَا رَأَيْتُ. So go to Bilal Radhan and teach him what you were taught in your dream. فَإِنَّهُ أَنْدَى صَوْتًا مِنْكَ. Because he has a louder voice than you. So Bilal Radhan was taught, and he was made the muadhin of Masjid Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he went and he taught him. Now Umar ibn Khattab Radhan, he was in his home when he heard about this, heard about the dream that Abdullah Radhan had seen. So he came rushing. فَخَرَجَ يَجُرُّ رِدَاءَ. So he came and he basically grabbed his robe, whatever the robe he was wearing, and he grabbed it and he was rushing out, dragging it on the ground. يقول والذي بعثك بالحق أو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, by the one who has sent you with the truth, لقد رأيت مثل الذي رأى. I saw the exact same dream just like he saw. فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلله الحمد. And for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all praise and thanks. So this is how the adhan was first called, and it was through a dream, alhamdulillah. So we'll stop there, inshallah. We'll continue on next week with the merits of Medina Munawwara, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.